Walk, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom.
Amen.
I mean, it's too blessed to be depressed.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Especially coming from you.
Well,
that's pretty awesome. I'll shut up.
We need to. You guys, you have a tendency to talk back when I'm talking. Yeah, I know it. And some of that's good, some of it's not. There are a couple of portions of scriptures that I want to read. And then I want to read to you an article that was in the Baptist Messenger from Arkansas. It's an article that was written by the Arkansas president of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. I thought it was pretty enlightening. And it's actually, look.
So you stole it.
I was fixing to get to that. But there's two passages I want to read. One is Psalms 138. Psalms 138. When you get that, and then another one. I think we as Christians, we all ought to always have a clear perspective of who we are, who our God is, the world that we live in, and that which is around us. We ought not be surprised if all around us, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We ought not be surprised of anything that we hear or see. We ought not be surprised. I think it was Solomon that said, there's nothing new under the sun. And as I was thinking here tonight, we don't have any people that are old enough to really remember. I think the only one that would be old enough, who's the oldest one in this group? Betty, how old are you?
Almost 83.
83. Well, you would just have been a teenager, a child. Mobile, how old are you?
83.
83. I was just thinking that I wonder what was going through the minds of the people in the United States. Gesundheit. God bless you. Whenever you hear people sneeze, I want you to be very verbal about that. And don't just say, bless you. Just say, God bless you. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you.
Amen.
Let's just be very specific. And then if somebody says, you can't say that, you say, well, what do you mean you can't say that? I just did. I wondered, as I was sitting there thinking, what I was thinking about where we are. And there are times when we get discouraged, and particularly when we listen to the news, don't we? I mean, all of this stuff that's going on. Everywhere we look, this thing that's going on with ISIS and with all of the Muslims, that all of the things that's going on around the globe. The concerns that we have, the things that's happening in Russia with Estonia and some of the other places in the Ukraine, and then when you look and see where we are, and all of the stuff that's going on, whether it's in Libya and Africa, or in the Far East, wherever it is, and you say, man, it's really very depressing. But now, in Mobile, you're probably, and Betty, you probably don't, I don't know whether you remember or not World War II. But as a child or as a teenager, I don't know how that registered in your mind. I don't know how that registered in your mind. But I do know this, is that when you look and see what was happening during World War II, I know that that had to be an awful, awful thing on the people of the United States in particularly. Women were working in factories, building airplanes and bombs and machinery and tanks and on and on. Their husbands were overseas. Many of them didn't come and return home. The whole world was totally in an uproar, right? And I know for a fact that those folks had to be concerned about, and there was probably a mentality of a closeness and trusting in the Lord like probably not ever at any time. And I think when we look at our world, where we are today, what it ought to do, it ought to drive us to the throne of grace, and it ought to be reminding us that I'm too blessed to be depressed, because I ultimately know, I know who has mankind in his hands. And so there are two portions of Scripture I want to read. The one is in Psalms 138. And then the other one is in Ephesians chapters 1. Now I want you to look at how the psalmist starts off in verse 1 in Psalms 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. You notice the gods are with a little g. That even if the political correct people will say, you can't say bless. Don't say bless or God bless you. I've got news for you. They think that they're in charge and have things under their political correct umbrella and under their authority. I got news for you. It's a little g. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Adult Sunday school class, what have y'all been learning in Sunday school these last few weeks? Daniel. What did Daniel do? What did Daniel do? I mean, what did Daniel do, and how did he do that? Close the door. Shh.
Don't.
What did he do? He opened the windows, didn't he?
That's right.
And I mean, publicly, what did he do? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We need to remember that. What is it that God magnifies above his name? His word. I want you to know that. We're in a day and an age where it says, hey, you know, his word and doctrine is very divisive. Let's just love each other just in Jesus' name. Let's not worry about his word. I want you to know, when I read this right here, is that for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We never want to withdraw from what we know about the word of God to be the truth of God's word, because what does it say? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And what did the Lord Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so I want to say that we need to remember that. We're too blessed to be depressed. Okay, I don't know whether you're depressed. A couple of hours ago, I was depressed. I was dragging. I do that occasionally. And I prayed, Lord, will you enable me and give me the grace? Lord, I thank you. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All of the kings of the earth shall praise thee. O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. I want you to know that's going to come. We're going to have them all, from Alexander the Great, from Nero, from Adolf Hitler, from Mussolini, from President Putin, President Obama. We're talking about President Reagan. We're talking about President whoever they are. Angela Merkel, whoever they are. Nikita Khrushchev that was pounding the table. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Now, some of you remember that, the younger people. Do you all know that? Okay, it was Khrushchev that was at the UN in the, when was it? Early 60s? Early 60s, and they had at the UN the Nikita Khrushchev. And he was up there, had his shoe off, and he was beating it on the desk. What are these going to do? All of the kings of the earth shall praise thee. We're too blessed to be depressed. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he had respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Now look at verse 8. I love this line, too blessed to be depressed. We need to put that on the back of our bulletin board. Amen. What is the Lord going to do with us? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Well, there's a verse of scripture in the New Testament that puts it this way. that for we know that he who began the good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the New Testament version of verse 8. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Too blessed to be depressed. I want you to note something. If there is some things that jump out of the page in this portion of Scripture, you ought to say, man, I need to highlight that, put asterisks by it. I need to memorize it, remember it. Ephesians 1, let's just begin reading in verse 1. We'll read through verse 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Too blessed to be depressed. I see one word already, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the saints which are at Sand Springs. You say, well, you know, the church council has not. They have not recognized that we have done these deeds for us to be recognized to be a saint. Saint Boswell. Saint Gail. Saint Bob. You see, you know what? I don't remember. I don't recall that all of the bishops have gotten together and have voted me into the place that I'm in sainthood. I've got news for you. If you are in the Lord Jesus, you're a saint.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means you're sanctified, that you've been set apart. He's called you out of the world and placed you in the kingdom of his dear Son. Saint Mobile. I wonder if that's Saint Mobile or Saint, Milton. I think it sounds better. Saint Milton Robinson. That's the name. And so, you know, what do you think? I start sending you all mail, and that's the way I'm going to address it. And then the post lady that delivers it, they see your name, Saint Mobile Robinson. They say, I didn't realize that they met in Rome and had a meeting over there. And then I'm going to send it from Bishop Haling. I got news for you. That's not a Roman Catholic thing. That's a biblical thing. Okay, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us, too blessed to be depressed, who had blessed us with what? Some of the spiritual blessings, a few of the spiritual blessings, one or two spiritual blessings. He has blessed us with what? With all or every spiritual blessing. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. Now look at verse 4. According as he has what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I want you to know I'm absolutely amazed by that statement. That I used to think that the reason that I was a Christian, there was something that the Lord saw in me. And then in time he said, you know what? I think that's a pretty good old boy. Or maybe you thought the same thing here. Well, the Lord, you know, he saw, and then, well, I needed, I think so. I've got news for you. According to this passage, when did in the mind of God our salvation begin? When did it begin? That doesn't mean that we were saved before the foundation of the world, but it meant by that as the Lord has set his love upon us and chosen us before the foundation of the world, that in time he called us, and that's when the Lord laid a hold of us and saved us. Too blessed to be depressed. That we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You need to underline that. Why did he do that? Somebody says, Pastor, explain that to me. I want you to know, I cannot. The only thing that I can say is that he says, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now look at verse 6. You need to put an asterisk by that. How do y'all put an asterisk by that right there? You can't, can you?
No, you can highlight it.
Oh, you can? Highlight it. Next one, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. You see, there is something, when I think about God's purposes and predestination and God's eternal purposes, I want you to know it's not like you and I purpose something. There are a lot of times you and I purpose to do something. We purpose to go to Arkansas, and all of a sudden there's a thing comes on my dash, and then the car goes, and they say, what's the matter with this thing? Well, it went to limp mode. We went to Arkansas here, it was a couple of 3 years ago, and I had the bright idea that I was going to put some of my used tires on my Mercedes. And so the front was like 215, 55 over 15, and then in the back I said, well, I got a couple of set of tires right here. They're 195 over 60 over 15. They fit 15-inch thing. Fit. What is the car now? Well, I'm taking the out there. We get on the other side of east of Broken Arrow, and all of a sudden this triangle comes on, and the warning thing starts going, and the car thinks that we're on ice because the rotation of the rear tire was different than the rotation of the front tire. The rotation was smaller in the back, and it was going around more than it was around the front, and the car says, this man is in danger, we're going to shut down. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I want you to know I was purposing to go to Arkansas, but I didn't get there. Got news for you. The Lord purposes to do what? He's chosen us in him. That's right. And nobody's going to hold his hand and say, what are you doing? I got news for you. Isn't that a good thing to know? Amen. Kevin Griffin, isn't that a good thing to know that when the Lord lays hold of our hearts, that he's going to see to what he's purposed? And that last verse we read in Psalms 138, he will perfect that which concerns him. Now, I'm too blessed to be depressed. And I need to have a proper view and understanding of that, don't I? Yesterday morning, Frankie gets up and she says, the day before she gets up, she says, we're going up to Drum Ride on Monday. We've got a little place up there that we spend our time on. And she said, something wrong with my eyes. And so she looks at the, I just got through putting a new deck on the porch. And she said, that thing is really leaning. I'm thinking, oh, hallelujah, it's leaning. I've been working on that thing with a level. So sure enough, I laid a level on it that was leaning about a half an inch over an 8 foot, span. I said, that ain't no big deal. So coming to find out that she's got some nerve damage in her eyes. She's walking around like this and she sees double vision. And so I'm concerned about that. And at the same time, that's just a little minor thing when I think about what all you have been going through. Tom, and you think about Claude and some of the other health issues that people are facing. Kathy, the thing that you've had on your neck for a couple of years, 3 years, you're fighting that. And all of the stuff that's happening in our lives. That there are times where you say, we don't need that. Jim has only got one place that he needs artificial parts. And when I look at our prayer list, I'm thinking. And then I listen to the news and the nation, and then I think about some of the things, the needs that we have in the church. And I want you to know, if we don't have a clear vision of who we are, where we're going, what the Lord has in his program for our salvation, there is a tendency to be depressed. Honestly. Isn't it? I get in my white Mercedes. I'm driving over here. And that thing won't shift a lick. Some of you are saying, well, preacher, buy a new car. Why are you so stubborn? Just buy a new car. But anyhow, that's just one of those little tiny things. But what is it that we're reading here? In whom we have redemption, verse 7, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded to us toward in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And when you see everything unfolding before our very eyes around history, what's happening? The Lord is busy and he's gathering. And he's bringing it all together. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, he talks about very plainly and clearly. All things are for him and in him and through and by him. And when it's all said and done, I want you to know all of creation, we're talking about all of it, will bow before the glory and recognize that he is the sovereign Lord over all. And I want you to know, if we're in the Lord Jesus, we're going to the big show. Amen. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory you first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. Look at verse 13. See, there's that mystery of it. In whom you also trusted after that you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I want you to know we're too blessed to be depressed. That's all I can say. I don't know if I want to read this article because it may depress us. Let me read it to you. It's that statement right up here that's just got me all fired up. While on vacation on July 1st, I read the book, The Great Evangelical Recession. Has anybody heard of that book? Six Factors That Will Crash the American Church and How to Prepare by John S. Dickerson. I do not have the space to give a complete overview, but the following are three major thoughts that got my attention. First, the author states evangelical believers are between 7 to 9% of the U.S. population. Did you all hear that number? In reality, the church in America is not booming. On any given Sunday, the vast majority of Americans are absent from church. That means that out of 316 million people in the U.S., only 22 to 28 million are Christians. It is evident we are a post-Christian pagan nation. In fact, it has been said that concerning all the nations of the world, we are ranked number 4 in receiving missionaries. We never think that. We think of that? That the United States is number 4 in receiving missionaries coming our way. We're not talking about sending them out. We're talking about people who come in our way. Other countries look at the U.S. as a lost nation and are sending missionaries to evangelize us. Second, the author argues, our culture is changing faster than most of us inside and outside of the church realize. And it means that barring some miraculous revival, the culture will continue on its current course and gaining speed in the direction it already is heading. I agree with this rationale. We are a hypersexual nation with no end in sight. Third, according to the author, unless trends change significantly, evangelicals giving across the board may drop by about 70% during the next 25 or 30 years. A recovery of the U.S. economy will not have bearing on the dropping ministry income unless generational patterns change drastically. In this section, Dickerson states that older saints, givers, are going to heaven and the younger generation is not replacing them in giving for the spread of the gospel. I don't know what anybody gives in our church. I don't know what the... I have no idea. I don't want to know. And I do know this, is that my prayer has been, as the Lord gives, lays hold of the hearts of the believer, regardless of what age are, that giving will be something that they will fall in line in. But I do know this, and I think that's probably across the board, that probably the older ones are the backbone of most churches. And I do know this is while we was in Oklahoma City that we used to get checks in the mail from some of our homebound people every week. And they would faithfully support the work. And so I'm not really sure. The book is an eye-opener worth the same time we'll take to read it. But honestly, all the information in the first half of the book regarding the state of our culture and local church and the future of the church will depress you. I mean, you think about it. That's discouraging, isn't it? And yet at the same time, he quotes this that one verse of scripture that we read here just a second ago. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We are too blessed to be depressed. God has blessed us and chosen us to be Christians, be the Christians' minority during these days. I know it's dark outside the doors of the church and that our nation is in a moral free fall. But before the foundation of the world, before creation, he chose to have us here at his church in Arkansas, or we can say Oklahoma, during this crazy time in history. It may be hard for us to grasp election and the will of man, but it is not too hard for God, because God designed it that way. And I want you to know I am so glad that we can read the scriptures without us having to get into an argument to say, well, that's really not what God means. Amen. I want you to know that. Did you know that that's something that's really hated in our generation? We want God to be God, but let's not you be God so much that it leaves us out of your equation, in a sense. In other words, you know, God, you do your thing, but let us do ours. I'm so glad that I know God does his thing, and I've got news for you, and he's going to do it with or without me. Therefore, during this time in history, the United States of America is 90% lost. That is, you know, that's a pretty brutal assessment. Without Christ, and the fields are white under harvest, the urban cities and rural communities of Arkansas are ripe for revival. God has chosen us, called us, and planted us right here where we are, right now, to spread the gospel in this Arkansas mission field. These are exciting days. We are too blessed to be depressed. Haven't we got together and we prayed for revival and spiritual awakening? And wherever we are, I want you to know, we got to remember this. We need to remember this, that we're light. And wherever we are, it's dark. And I got news for you that whenever light shines, what is it going to do? It's going to overtake darkness. You turn the light on, I don't care how dark it is. They say, and if there's a commercial that's on, they say that your eye can see the light of a candle. What does it say, 2 miles off?
10 miles.
I want to see it. You know, we're a bunch of unbelievers, aren't we? But apparently they must have tested it somewhere where it was dark, pitch dark. And that you could. And so, anyhow, I can't even see a light across the street. Folks, we got a great, great mission field. And as the Lord Jesus said when he saw the multitudes, they were like without a shepherd. And it's in that he says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into the harvest. And who are these? That's you and me. We are too blessed to be depressed. We need to remember and believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. And we need to just let that light shine wherever we are. And so let's pray tonight. Let's take the rest of our time. I was talking to Wayne Newton. That's Bob's neighbor over here in the trailer park, and he was so appreciative. He was there with him on Sunday visiting, and he said, I so appreciate for Mike calling him, and I prayed with him, and let's remember, pray for this man. He has all kinds of difficulties. What about your other friend that we had prayed for?
Bill.
Yes. Bill Hayes.
Yeah. He's got a lot of difficulties.
Let's remember that. Any other prayer requests tonight?
Let's pray one thing. His difficulties are there with his stubbornness about helping the church.
Okay, let's pray for them. Any other prayer requests? Let's remember our home bounds. Yes? Okay. Tom, you are on the prayer list, aren't you? You got shingles today, too? Yeah. All right.
I ain't depressed.
Did you get a shot?
No, I got pills.
Okay. We don't. Is that a communicable thing?
No.
Oh, good.
It is too late because I've been around too much.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Let's thank the Lord for Kevin and Tabitha. And let's thank the Lord for that little Elena Michelle Foote. And look at that little flinky right there.
Yeah.
I mean to tell you. She looks just like her Mimi.
She looks like
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Let's thank the Lord for that. Let's pray for our church.
Amen.
Let's pray for our church family. Pray for our Sunday school teachers. Pray for our deacons. Pray for those that are actively involved week in and week out for all of the things that you do. Ken and Crystal and Robin and all of you musicians over here and over there. And Joel that's running that soundboard week in and week out. Everybody that has a part in the life of this church, whether it's financially, bookkeeping, secretarial, youth work, and whatever it might be. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And then Nikki had a prayer request. I'm not sure that.
Yes. Nikki was texting me today. She's She said that my brother is apparently there's some decision that's he's going to face, and pray for his salvation, that the Lord will get a hold of his heart. And we sure going to miss her, and at the same time, we know that the Lord will have a place for her out there in Elk City.
The little boy, she said, had fever, so they didn't need to go find the church on Sunday.
Let's remember our college students over there at OBU and at OU, and we don't have any at OSU yet, have we? No, but let's remember our kids. And I tell you what, I want you to know, I love football games, but I hate the Saturday night games. I watched that OSU game.